We have been examining the grand experiment in communal living by the Jerusalem Church. I have firsthand experience with such a group, not by membership, but by friendship and association. Several friends joined such a group, and they were thoroughly communal. I regularly visited them as I had been warned of the possibility that there could be major problems eventually by a college teacher, a history professor, who had studied a number of communal groups and found that they rarely succeeded, although a few have, such as the Hutterites. Why do a few groups succeed? It is commitment to the process and love for the group, as well as a strong work ethic by everyone. But there may be other reasons as well. But the group I followed, again, I didn't join it because of my professor's warnings, had normal people in it, people I liked and felt were mentally balanced. But for all their desire to be equal and willingness to contribute to the common welfare of all, a common malady of humanity sneaked in, as it often does. It is the malady of energy conservation, more commonly known as laziness. But it was cast in a spiritual disguise. After a few weeks of communal living, one young man stated that God had called him to prayer and fasting, and thus he asked to be excused from normal labor. They lived on and worked a farm. The others picked up the extra work generated by his absence, and all seemed to go well. Then a second young man asked for time to be with God. Well, that sounds pretty spiritual. But the matter of fasting was apparently assumed, but not really mentioned. Within a short time, there was only one person who was trying to do all the work on the farm. While the men were engaging in, quote, quote, spiritual discussions, and the whole matter of fasting had been forgotten. Eventually, the poor woman who had three children got tired of supporting the loafers, supposedly that were in the sanctified state, and she withdrew from the commune. I realized this was a good time to end my financial support as well, which certainly was limited, and no longer support what amounted to laziness called by the sanctified names of fasting and prayer. By this time, there was little, if any, of either one of these. The group disbanded, and the farm returned to its original owner, who wisely had held up signing the final bill of sale. I don't think they were evil people, and least of all the woman with the three children. They were human beings that needed sanctification, purification. They needed purified motives and what one Bible character described as a mind to work. A more scandalous version of this problem emerges later in Acts 5, where Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold their farm to join the Jerusalem communal Christians. In their case, they were deceptive. The love of money can be the root of a whole lot of evil, and conveyed the impression that they gave everything to the Lord. In chapter 5, verse 3, Sapphira brought the funds to the apostles, but God revealed their secret to Peter. The God of Ananias and Sapphira was too small, a perpetual problem that Christians have. Once confronted by Peter about the matter, he highlighted the heart problems reflected in trying to lie to God. Both husband and wife died. Such extreme reactions to sin are characteristic of new religious groups, sociologists say. They begin with strict rules and then over time relax them. But that does not fit so well here, because God is setting the rules and he's also setting the punishments. The effect of these deaths, as might be expected, was a wave of fear over the church. I suspect God's strictness may be a message to the church that we must be completely honest about our actions and our intentions. It may be that those who have amassed considerable wealth are particularly accountable, Although we must be honest before God and humanity, all of us must. Next time, we will go back to the section we skipped about a dramatic healing and a message by Peter, both found in chapter 3. This is Brother Don.